We are saved by grace through faith, disciples of Jesus. And yet some are teaching that we are to keep a certain day, a Sabbath day. That begs the question as to why there's not even one instruction, not one, in the whole New Testament canon. There is no instruction to the saints, that is, those saved by grace through faith, to keep any certain day. It also begs the question as to whether or not the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was enough to justify us and to exempt us from the obsolete, clumsy, and difficult, to put it lightly, system of law keeping. Notice the Bible says that in Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end. I want you to bracket that in your Bible. It's over. The end of the law for righteousness. That's key. For righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now the novice is going to say, wait a minute, the law didn't go away. No, but the Bible says in 1 Timothy 1 that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the unrighteous. So the only people under the law, and therefore under the condemnation of God, are those who have never been born again, and or those who were born again in the past and are now backslidden. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 1, you can begin reading in about verse 7. And I want you to study this yourself and learn the Word of God so that you can know why you believe what you believe and earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Jude verse 3, because we've got a epidemic of law-keeping, keep Torah antichrist. Now, why would I call them antichrist? Because that sounds good? No. Anti means in place of. So they're putting the law and supposedly, laughably, their own ability to keep the law perfectly ahead of Christ. Again, anti means in place of. Anything you put in place of Christ for justification and salvation, it is a product of being an antichrist. Christ is the end. His perfect sacrifice, it is finished, paid in full, is the end. It's over. Wake up. Of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, in repentance they turn to God and confess Jesus as the Lord, acknowledging his death, burial, and resurrection from the dead to be the full payment for their sin. Nothing else can be added. They're saved, and they're not under the law. Everybody else is under the law. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's their salvation, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You are one deceived individual, my friend, if you think your attempt to keep Torah is going to save you from hell. You are a sinner. Yes, you. Look in the mirror. Yeah, you, who has broken God's law repeatedly, and unless you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who kept the law perfectly and then nailed it to the cross, you are as sure for hell as if you were already there. If keeping, here's another question that begs to be answered. If keeping Torah, keeping the law, was enough, why, oh why, did God bother to send his only begotten Son to die for us? Galatians 2:21, for if righteousness come by the law, Christ is dead in vain. Are you listening? For Christ is the end. It's over. The end. Bracket it, highlight it, and underline it. Romans 10:4. 10:4, good buddy. Remember the CB talk way back? 10:4, good buddy. That's an easy way to remember this one. Romans 10:4 is a 10:4 good buddy to law keeping. It is utter futility, and it's a spit in the face of a holy God. You are a blasphemer. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. that is, believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. As the scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. That doesn't mean the law, the commandments are gone, but they're not for the righteous, 1 Timothy 1. They're for the unrighteous, to convict them and to bring them to Christ. Galatians 3:24, the law is a schoolmaster to do what? Convict you of your sins and bring you to Christ. Just like we read in Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, right? Converting the sinner, the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony, that's the words of God, of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. 1 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to start reading in verse 7. Desiring to be teachers of the law. Oh boy, don't we have a lot of these keep Torah devils. They're absolute antichrist heretics running around trying to put people back under the law. Let me make this statement that anyone, and this is based on the authority of God's word, anyone who's trying to put you, seduce you to come up under any part of the law, any law keeping for righteousness, is an antichrist snake. It doesn't matter how sweet, pretty, or handsome they are. They're absolutely an antichrist. I want you to read and know the book of Galatians. Read it. It's six chapters through every week for the next month. And select, underline, and begin to memorize certain key scriptures that make these points that we're talking about in this message today. Desiring, Paul writes, 1 Timothy 1, this is the most prevalent heresy, Judaizing law-keeping. It's the most prevalent heresy that the Apostle Paul and all of the apostles combated and dealt with. And it's still the most dangerous heresy and system of lies by a spirit driven by and anointed by a spirit of Antichrist to gyp. Remember that word we used to use? You got gypped. In other words, you got scammed. You got taken to the bank. And that's what they're trying to do for your eternal soul, is take you to the bank called hell. If you've been saved and you go under law, I don't care if it's one part of the law, acting like keeping a certain day in the week makes you any more righteous and pushing that as if it's a New Testament commandment, which it is not. Not one time in the New Testament, not even one time are we instructed to keep any certain day. Let me ask you a question. Did God forget to tell us something we need to know? No, somebody's lying and it's not the Lord. Okay, so 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, there are so many places that we could go to today on this message. We have a very prominent and growing category on safeguardyoursoul.com. In fact, I've got it named under more than one category. Go to Judaizing drop-down menu on the right side of the desktop version of safeguardyoursoul.com and go to the J's, J-U, Judaizing Devils Rebuked or something like that. Also, Hebrew Roots, another category containing the same post, podcast, amen, rich with scriptural truth to make you get excited about the salvation we have in Christ. And at that, let me say this. I want you also to read as a student of Christ, not just listen to somebody preach. You need to get in the Word yourself. Some people, if they spent one-tenth of the time studying the Bible directly for themselves, that's the King James Bible, not some fake counterfeit, that they do spend listening to preachers, they might actually learn something. They might actually be owned and own the scriptures and be more fruitful for the kingdom of Christ. You know, we listen to a little message and feel good and we're so selfish. That's as far as it goes. Wow. If the Word of God isn't moving you like fire shut up in your bones to minister the Word of God and to teach the Scriptures, something's not right in you. So I want you to look at Hebrews 8 through 10. It compares, chapter 8 through 10, Hebrews. It compares the utterly, infinitely inferior Old Testament system to the glorious, exceedingly and infinitely superior New Covenant, system, if you will, which is by faith, which is by grace through faith, by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Romans 8, 2 through 4, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. One of the podcasts we have on Safeguard Your Soul is titled Old Testament versus New Testament System. It is a dynamic podcast I want you to listen to. Again, it's titled Old Testament versus a VS New Testament System. If you just put in the word system, it will come right up. 1 Timothy 1, beginning in verse 7, desiring, Paul says, to be, and these are those who have turned aside unto vain jangling. Desiring, these are false teachers, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Now, vain jangling, isn't that an interesting term? You're only going to find English like that in the King James Bible. Notice they have swerved, verse 6. They're off course. They're like a vehicle that has swerved off the road, and now they're going cross country. And it's bumpy, it's messed up, and they're not going to make it to their destination unless they repent. So they have swerved, from which some, though they have pretended to aim at the truth, they're to be scoped out and marked. They have missed the mark. That's the definition of sin. This is the import. This is what he's saying by the words, they have swerved, having swerved. And then they've turned aside unto vain jangling, which signifies empty or vain talking, discourses that turn to no profit, a great many words and little sense or substance, and that sense not worth the pains of hearing. Such indeed is all preaching where Jesus Christ is not upheld as the ultimate Almighty God, Creator and Redeemer. Amen. So that would be the import. That's what he's talking about when he says they are those who swerved and they're now involved in vain jangling. And it's specifically the Judaizers, because then he says in verse 7, desiring, this is 1 Timothy 1, get to know it and memorize the reference so that you can continue to pore over it. You can be resourceful in sharing it with others. So they go study it. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. And we've already proven that. There's so many things we could say about this subject. That's why this is such a huge category on SafeguardYourSoul.com. They are telling people that Jesus kept the Sabbath and that they're required to keep the Sabbath because all 10 of the Ten Commandments are still our responsibility under the New Covenant. But that's not true. Only 9 of them carried forth and are repeated in the New Testament. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Idolatry, theft, lying, bearing false witness, honoring your mother and father. That's all in the New Covenant. But nowhere in the New Covenant are we instructed to keep any certain day. Now, the Sabbath is still in the New Covenant under it, but it's not the Sabbath of the Old Covenant. It's not ceremonial. It's spiritual. You put your trust in the Sabbath himself. His name is Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, that's what it tells us, is that you put your faith, you rest in, Sabbath means rest. The Sabbath rest of the true New Testament disciple is that he rests from trying to merit God's justification, his salvation, by law keeping. No, he rests in Christ, who is the only one who ever kept the law perfectly. Then he nailed it to the cross and took it out of our way. We're under a new system, Colossians 2, 14 through 19. And you see, what these devils aren't doing, these Judaizing devils, that's a nice way of putting it, by the way, is they aren't upholding Christ, who is the only salvation. They're getting you entangled, even using scripture craftily and deceitfully to make you think you need to keep some certain day or you're not going to be saved. And that obeying Christ means keeping a Sabbath day. No, it doesn't. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But Jesus or his apostles never once commanded anyone to keep any certain day. In fact, in Acts 15, when the apostles the first council of the apostles, they affirmed that a certain what Jesus had taught them is essential for salvation. And guess what's not even mentioned one time? Keeping a certain Sabbath. Yeah, that's what I thought. It's all a big lie. It's all a big lie. Go read Acts 15, the first council of the apostles, and see if you can find the word Sabbath there. Huh. Not only is it not required, it's a total individual liberty to keep or not keep any certain day. It has nothing to do with salvation. In fact, check out verse 11 of Acts 15, which says, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." In other words, all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they repent, they turn to God, and they're saved by grace through faith. How about 13:39 of the book of Acts? It says, "And by him," that's Christ, "all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Now, I don't know how much more clear that could be. Let me read it again. Acts 13:39. "And by him," that's Jesus Christ, "all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Acts 13:39. Paul was absolutely furious and concerned, greatly concerned, that the Galatians observed days, months, and times and years. Days referring to Sabbath days. He says, "I am afraid of you. You observed days, months, and times and years." In other words, you count them important. See, Paul feared for the now Judaized Galatians who were now fallen from grace. In other words, they were lost souls. You can't be saved outside of the saving grace of God through Christ. If you go back under law, any part of it, to try to be justified, you're no longer in Christ. There's only two kind of people in the world. Those in Christ, in and under Christ, his salvation, and those under law. You're back under law. Good luck, my friend. You can't keep it perfectly, and you've already broken it a million times. By the way, it only takes one time to break it to make you guilty of all. You're under the slave master that is a gift that keeps on giving pain, anguish, death, and every evil under the sun. I'm not going to join you. You're going straight to hell because you have rejected Christ for this laughable idea that you can keep the law perfectly. James 2:10 says, "If you offend in one matter of the law, ever in your whole life, that is, you've broken the whole law and you're guilty of all of it, and you're going to suffer the consequences by paying for your own sin in hell because you have rejected the salvation that God gave us in Christ." Long after the law, Jesus came, and God, he said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." He had already given the law. That wasn't enough. That just shows us how sinful we are in order to bring us to Christ. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Notice he didn't say that God gave his son so that those who keep the law perfectly. Why would he even have given his son if the law was enough? Yeah, talk about calling God a lunatic. Judaizers are the most blasphemous antichrist in existence. And that's always been the case since the days of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose greatest enemy was the Jewish religionist. And now we have the exponential epidemic. They're wolves, they're venomous snakes, they're liars and evildoers of the worst kind. To seduce you. Paul spoke of being aware of those who would seduce you to go back under law, to go back under the rudiments and the philosophies and false doctrines of the religious world. Colossians 2, verse 4. And he said, "Beware lest any man spoil you, ruin you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ." of whom are the Judaizers, who are the worst seducers and snakes of Satan. Paul said to the Galatians, you observe days, months, and times and years. You've missed the whole gospel message. You're making days and times important. I am afraid of you. I'm absolutely fearful lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. In other words, all my labor in the gospel to get you saved is now lost because you're now under the law. You're observing days, months, and years. Those are the elemental, those are what the Bible calls. And the Bible speaks of this and calls it the weak and beggarly elements. Galatians 4, 9 through 11, but now after that you have known God. Now, these once saved, always saved, absolute devils are going to tell you these people were never saved. If that's the case, how can you fall from something you never had? Galatians 5, 4, Paul said that they had fallen from grace because they went back under the law. And he says right here that they had known God, Galatians 4, 9. But now, after that ye have known God, that would be also to be known of God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again, going back to it, to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto, that is, of the law, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. That's all the law can do, is put you in bondage. It tells you what sin is and reveals how sinful you are because you've broken the commandments of God, but it never gave you the ability, the saving grace that only Christ could bring to overcome that sin. And overcoming that sin is by having, repenting and putting your faith in Christ and living by faith. Not trying to be a law keeper. Notice, you desire again to be in bondage. John 1:17, Jesus said, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus came and died and rose again from the dead, he sent his Holy Spirit to make you a new creature in Christ by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, Titus 3, whereby you are now a temple of the Holy Ghost, and give you his divine ability daily through the life of Christ and of the cross, being dead, buried, and raised up with Christ every day. And that's what water baptism symbolizes and signifies. That's how you overcome sin, not by trying to be a law keeper. See, we're under a new law, according to Romans 8:2, which says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There's a new law, and that's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You have the life of Christ in you by the Holy Spirit. He says later in this chapter, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in you if you are a born again, a regenerated saint, by the miracle of God. For the law of the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law, Moses' law, could not do, it couldn't provide you the solution to that sin that it exposed. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law, the righteousness that the law demanded, that is, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, not by law keeping. No, it says now, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's only those who are in Christ and are walking after the Spirit, led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit of God, that are overcoming sin, that are walking with Jesus, that are fruitful to the glory of God. You see, but Satan wants to seduce you to observe days, months, years, times, and years. And Paul said, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain, lest all of my work in the gospel has been wasted. And what was his indication? Specifically, that they were keeping days. They were observing days. Oh, this is a big day. In other words, that causes people, instead of walking daily, like Jesus called us to do in Luke 9, 9:23 and 24, he said, to follow me, you got to daily take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. But they want to make certain days. See, this is how Satan seduces you and makes all of your belief into a big religion where you count certain days important, but not every day. You don't have a living, breathing, 24/7 relationship with Christ as his temple. No, you're going to go into some building once a week or whenever it is to observe a certain day instead of observing daily and moment by moment the one who made every day, Jesus Christ, who created all things, Colossians 1:16. See, that's how Satan tries to compartmentalize your quote-unquote faith, seduces you into counting days important instead of the one who made all days. See, now you're worshiping the creation instead of the creator, Romans 1. This derails you from living in the Spirit and enjoying the salvation of God in Christ every day, all day long. Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. And his labor, he's saying here, is in vain. Concerning those who have gone back under law keeping. And they're making days, times, months, and years important. Paul clearly says here that his labor is in vain. After he led you to Jesus, you've now backslidden. And now instead of observing Christ 24/7, 365, you're now observing and making days important and law keeping. And this begs the question again, why did Jesus come if we could be justified by the law? That's the big question here. If there's no difference between the old and the new covenants, why did God bother sending his only begotten son to ratify the new covenant in his own blood and then raise him from the dead? As we said earlier, Hebrews 8 through 10, chapters 8 through 10, contrast the old and the new covenants. And the book of Galatians cites any Judaizer as a liar. Okay, so we're looking at 1 Timothy 1, beginning of verse 7. As we began to read, it reads as follows. Desiring, these vain janglers, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. And that would point to and involve everybody today who's talking about keeping Torah. No, I'm not keeping Torah. I'm keeping Jesus first. Jesus Christ is the one who is revealed and featured in the Torah, the five books of Moses, and in all the holy scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. He is the grand subject of all of scripture.
Jesus kept Torah for me because I can't and I haven't and neither have you. So we're all guilty. And you're either in the only one who ever kept it and then nailed it to the cross, Colossians 2, and took it out of our way, or you're under law and you're under the condemnation of God, who is holy, holy, holy. The only way to be justified is in Christ, putting your faith in Christ who kept the whole law and then took it out of your way by nailing it to the cross. It is finished. It is paid in full. John 19, verse 30. Colossians 2, 14 through 19.
True New Testament disciples are living by the faith of the Son of God. Their whole hope and faith is in Christ.
See, law keepers are not holding or upholding and exalting the head, capital H-E-A-D, Christ. They're seducing you to look away from Christ. That's all it takes. And to get into law keeping, tit for tat, and to try to earn and merit your own salvation, which is absolute futility and laughable. To pretend that you're going to keep the whole law. Have fun. I'm going to take Christ and his perfect salvation and justification paid in full. It is finished. The price for man's sin was completely, perfectly, fully paid and satisfied. Ratified in the blood of the Son of God, who nailed my sins and your sins to the cross and took the law out of our way. Law keeping, futility. No, this isn't teaching disobedience and lawlessness. This is teaching obedience to God. by putting your faith. Jesus said, he that believeth, that is on him, has everlasting life. John 6:47. Jesus didn't say, he that keeps the law has everlasting life. No, you believe on the one who kept the law. You haven't. You're absolutely 100% guilty and in big trouble with God. And it's only Christ who kept the law, the only one to keep the law perfectly, that can save you from that wrath. The wrath of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:9. So we have these false teachers today who are desiring to be teachers of the law. They're running around giving you all of these false reasons why keeping the Sabbath is important and that it's essential to salvation. You need to blow them up with the word and call them for what they are if they don't repent right away after hearing the truth. The first and second time you share it with them, Titus 3:10, they're absolute antichrist. They're dogs and swine, and they are to be exposed and rejected. Matthew 7:6, Titus 3:9-11, you are to rebuke them sharply. Titus 1:13. You are to shut them down. Titus 3:10 says, a man that is an heretic, which kind of heretic specifically? Look in verse 9, but Titus 3:9, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. There you go. These are Judaizing false teachers he's addressing. And strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, you give him two chances. You give him the truth that we're justified by faith in Christ, who kept the law perfectly and nailed it to the cross and took it out of our way, Colossians 2. We are only justified by Christ through faith in Christ, not by law. Galatians 2:16, etc. Also Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace, unmerited favor, not law keeping, but grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that grace is given to you on behalf of the perfect sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Not any good of your own, because there is no good in you. Romans 7:18-24. Isaiah 64:6, all of your righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the eyes of a holy God. A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject him. That's a command of God. Don't waste your time with people that don't want God's truth. Rebuke them. That's the best thing you can do, and cut them off, block them. Knowing that he that is such, God tells on them, those who won't hear and obey the truth and adhere to the word of God, knowing that he that is such, that is, he rejects the truth of salvation by grace through faith, is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. This reminds us of what Jesus said in John 3:19-21 concerning those who love their darkness rather than light, the light of the truth, because their own deeds are evil and they refuse to repent. Okay, so desiring to be teachers of the law and understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. How do we know that? Well, just ask them where the New Testament says that we're to keep any certain day. Go ahead, show me. I need to see the chapters and verses. There's not even one hint, much less instruction, for any New Testament believer, that is a saved by grace through faith disciple, to keep the law, to keep the Sabbath. Not one. See, that's the point they try to get you on, to then seduce you all the way under the law, to keep law, which would mean you have to reject the salvation of God, which is only in Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans 1:16, that's going to be a memory verse for you. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory, save, or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Galatians 6:14. Salvation's only in Jesus Christ, not in the law or law keeping. If that was the case, Galatians 2:21, why did God send his son? Why? For it is the power of God, that is the gospel of Christ, unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, that is in Christ, in his good news gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, not in law, but in Christ, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 8, 1 Timothy 1, as we come in for a landing, but we know that the law is good. He didn't say the law is completely done away with, but he did say it is good. Romans 7:12 said it's holy, just, and good, the law. It's not about the law. God gave the law. The law is holy. Romans 7:12. But what the law does, as we're going to read again here, is it reveals how sinful we are. It doesn't save us. It breaks us down and convicts us so that we surrender to Christ. Galatians 3:24. The law is a schoolmaster. It's a tutor. It brings you to Christ, to the foot of the cross. Will you surrender? I surrender all, as the song says. And the lyrics of such a great hymn are as follows. The name of the hymn is I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. And how about the sentence in the great song called Rock of Ages, which says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Amen. Nothing in my hand. I don't bring any good because I don't have or possess any. But to thee I come, O God, simply to thy cross I cling. Notice Galatians 2:16. This is going to be a memory verse for you here. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, including keeping a certain Sabbath day, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, and not by the works of the law. Could it be any clearer? For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Let me read that last part of Galatians 2:16 again. For by the works of the law, by law keeping, shall no flesh be justified. Wow, Galatians 2:16. So 1 Timothy 1:8, as we come in for a landing, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. And how do you use the law lawfully? Well, here it is. Verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Did you hear that? Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Why? Because he's not under the law, but he's under saving grace. Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ and empowered to please him, having Christ dominating and ruling in our lives. And we are washed from our sins in his precious blood. Sin does not have any more dominion over us because we are in Christ. And according to that very chapter, Romans 6, we live a crucified life whereby we are raised up. Resurrection life in Christ into the fruit-bearing victory that he has ordained us to walk in. John 15, fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And those who are under grace, they alone can use the law, which is good, lawfully. And that would be to bring conviction of sin to sinners. knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. And so if the law is not made for a righteous man, what does that say of those who are trying to keep the law? It tells us they are not righteous. They are not right with God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. So what does this text tell us the law is for? Who is it for? But for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, that would be sodomites, for men stealers, that's kidnappers, for those who put people in jail for unwarranted reasons, for liars, that's what men stealers are. They take away people's freedom. For liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according, this is according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So there are many things to behold in this passage in 1 Timothy 1. But notice in verse 9, the law is not made for a righteous man. You're not under the law. You don't have to be a law keeper. You live in the Spirit. You obey the Word of God. You're saved by grace through faith. You are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Jesus summed up the Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments, for example, when he said that you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is the fulfillment of the law as you walk in a love relationship by faith with Christ after repenting and being born again. Matthew 22, 37 through 39. As a new creature in Christ, old things are passed away, and that includes law keeping, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. Old things are passed away, including law keeping. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are a vessel of honor, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when you live in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're not going to put any gods before you. You're not going to use the name of the Lord your God in vain. You're not going to dishonor your family, your parents. You're not going to lie, bear false witness. You're not going to steal. You're going to keep the Sabbath, who is Christ. You're going to rest in Him and resign from attempting to keep the law, because you don't need the law anymore. You are born again. You are a new creature. You are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and you are walking in the love and in the Holy Ghost of God. You're not going to covet. You're not going to commit adultery. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's Galatians 5:16. How about Romans 8:14? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Notice, he didn't say as many as are led by the law or keep the law. No, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Earlier in that chapter, he spoke about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That is, the salvation of Christ and the Holy Spirit in you now have made me free from the law of sin and death. You're no longer under the law of sin and death, because the one who gave that law now lives in you. And as you're led by him and his New Testament word in particular, you're not going to live in sin. Sin will not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. For what the law could not do, it was infinitely inferior. And to think that some of these counterfeits still want to be under the law, this is delusion. Make that make sense. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Again, it told you what to do without giving you the power to do it, the grace to do it, the divine enablement that only Christ could give you and has given you in his salvation, which is perfect, that one-time sacrifice on the cross. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law, not the law, but the righteousness of the law, that the righteousness of the law, what it demands, might be fulfilled in us. Who keep the law? No. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So there are so many scriptures on this topic, and I want you to avail yourself to them and listen to this message again, my friends, and capture, lay hold on, and memorize and meditate upon these scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15, study, study, study to show yourself, you do it, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Heavenly Father, we come afresh before you, Lord, and we declare our own wickedness and absolute hopelessness of evil that is us without you. There is no good thing, no good thing that dwells in us, we say with the Apostle Paul. Everything, as your prophet Isaiah said, in us of righteousness is filthy rags. And it's only through Christ. We know that only in Christ can we be saved, because he alone is our righteousness. We're only justified by faith in him without the deeds of the law. And Lord, we announce afresh our faith in you, Lord, and our utter dependence upon you. And we say with the Apostle Paul that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to your mercy you saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which you shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We now and here forward rest in the perfect sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. We are saved by grace through faith, and that is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Jesus' name, we surrender all. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.